Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking majestic Buckhead, where the sky outside is crisp, clear, with just a few clouds, a perfect spring day, reminiscent of what it is like to live in Northern California. But the hot days are ahead, as we all know. All right, today, as in the next 12 weeks minimum, I have as my radio guest Dr. Robert McGee, who wrote The Search for Significance, which sold 3 million copies about 25 years ago. He also launched Rafa, which had as many as 40,000 patients that they took care of before the government mandates made it economically infeasible to hold them. Now, here we are. We've got Robert McGee on the line. Robert, this is Jack. How are you today?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm really thrilled to have you on Jack Watts on Recovery, and I know that what we want to talk about is the new book that you wrote that I helped you quite a bit with, actually, called The Search for Reality, Renewing Your Mind, published just the last couple of weeks by McGee and me. And there are a lot of books, a lot of things said, a lot of Christian books. Most of them are much ado about very little. And
are you there? Are you there? Jack, I think I lost you. Jack?
Robert, this is Jack again. I got cut off of my own program.
Well, that's not.
Are you there?
Well. Yeah,
that's not. That doesn't work very well, does it?
That's what we call self-defeating activity.
Yeah. All right. As I was saying, we were talking about, you know, most of the Christian books that are out there really don't deliver what they promise. And yet, the reason that we're going to be talking so much about The Search for Reality is this does. I mean, this is something that just is dramatically different than most of the books that...
Yeah,
go ahead.
To begin with, most people think they've got a pretty good handle on what our Christian faith is all about. I went to church this last Sunday and listened to the preacher talk about building a foundation. And it was like he assumed that was just something that naturally takes place if you show up at church. When in fact, one of the things we discovered with Rafa, we did treat really over 40,000 patients in hospital. And these were psychiatric patients. They were the locked unit, the whole deal. In other words, these were not minimal cases. And most of them had gone to church, if you asked them, did they know the truth, they would say, of course I know the truth. I've been going to church all my life. But in fact, as we began to work with them, they discovered that there was a lot of things they heard, but they didn't really apply to their life correctly. And the search for reality is an extension of that. Now, the reason that search for significance has been so dramatically popular is because we have taught people to understand why their emotions are what they are, why their thinking is what it is, in relationship to what God says is true. And then that gives them a choice. Well, it occurred to me now almost 10 years ago that as I looked across the landscape of Christian books, nobody really talked about deception, and yet the Bible did. I mean, you have to go back and... I mean, you have to go back into the early 1900s to find authors who spoke about deception and what it was, and yet the Bible's very clear. In fact, it says we have an enemy called the devil, and the devil's been around a long time, and he's been messing with men for a long time, and he's called the deceiver of the brethren. Now, it doesn't say he's deceiver. It sort of stands to reason he's also the deceiver of those who are not brothers, you know, have never accepted Christ. But he's even the deceiver of those who have accepted Christ. And yet most Christians do not really think very much that they've ever been deceived. And they pretty much think they've got what the Christian thing down. Now, they may not be living it, but they think they understand it. And as people go through this book, they're going to go, wow, I was never taught this. It's obviously very clear in Scripture. I mean, we didn't go outside the bounds of what the Bible says is true. We just simply plainly say, okay, for instance, when it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and then begins to list a hierarchy of the demonic. You know, a lot of Christians don't like to hear that one, but that's what the Bible says, all right? And on it goes in Scripture. There are just so many things that the Bible is crystal clear as to what it is, and yet it's uncomfortable to talk about, and it doesn't fit into our program. And so we don't teach our people, and our people suffer for it.
All right, now, explain why this is so important.
Well, because you can say that you got the truth down, that you know the truth. But when you take a look at your life, you have to admit that the truth has set you free. So there's something wrong here, all right? The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What it's actually referring to is the truth is Christ, and that you shall know him, and he will bring you into truth. Now, one of the definitions for truth in Scripture is reality, and that's really, really important today because the way people use the idea of reality is just our truth is really not helpful because people think, well, this person has a truth, and that person has a truth, and we shouldn't claim to know the truth because that sort of makes us sort of limited in our expansion of our friends, etc.
You know, Robert, one of the things that you know, being in AA for 20 years, I hear people say all the time, "I'm speaking my truth," and my truth may be different than your truth, and which is different than, you know, Joe Blow's down the street. So we're just all speaking our truth. Is there a flaw in that thinking?
Well, yeah, they ought to dummy up and not talk. Why do I care what your truth is? I'm looking for absolute truth. Because I can't. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're haunted by whatever you're going through. You're not going to get much comfort in, I got Jack Watt's truth. I mean, who cares? All right? It doesn't. It's not helpful.
Jeff Rod's truth is. I'm going to post that on Facebook. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, because the only truth that matters is what God says is true. Because then you can rely upon it. I mean, Why would you rely upon some guy who's been drinking most of his life, what he thinks is true? Does that make any remote sense to anybody? It doesn't to me. You know, I'd rather throw a dart at the wall and believe whatever it lands on than that kind of deal. So I guess my point is, the Bible has nothing to do with an idea of a relative truth. It just doesn't. It doesn't recognize it. It's not something that it relates to. The Bible basically says that there is a truth which we have called reality. We could have called it actuality, something that is real, that no matter how I feel, quite frankly, no matter what I think, I don't know about you, Jack, but I've thought the stupidest thoughts of my life. I would hate to say that's a reality. I mean, I'm not going to give you any basis for living life. And that's essentially, you know, you sit around and you jabber about this, that, and the other until you get down to this is real. You're not going to have anything that you can count on. And the Bible wants you to be able, Jesus wants you to be able to count on what he says. In fact, that's his intention, is for you to count on what he has declared to you, so much so that he actually provides you the Holy Spirit in order to lead you into absolute truth. And yet,
one of the things that we want to get clear is there are not competing truths. There are competing perceptions of truth, but there is only one reality for a believer, and that is what Christ has revealed and said. Is that a good way to put that or not?
Well, if there's more than one truth, all we have is what is psychologically pleasing to me. It's nothing you can count on, and it's nothing the Bible has anything to do with. And so there's so many things in Scripture that would, this is one of the things that I found with Rafa, and that is I got all these people coming to me, excuse me, gosh, I was too quick, all these people coming to me, 99% of them came straight out of the church, 99% of them believed that they had been taught truth, and they were still in a world of hurt, and the reason was, they weren't really presented how to recognize deception in their life. I mean, if you hold on to something that you say is true and something that is deception, I mean, most Christians don't even consider that they could be deceived, which is tragic because once you base your life on deception, you're in a world of hurt. This church I went to, the guy talked about the two men who had built houses, one on the rock and one on the sand. And he didn't get it right, but the one on the sand, when he built his house, he felt pretty good about his house. It looked pretty good. See, because the house built on sand is fine until the wind comes, right, and the storm comes, and then it doesn't look too good. And that's what God tried to tell us with that parable. So the reason we call this the search for reality is that there is a reality out there. And God wants to teach you what that reality is so that when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you remember what that reality is. I for some reason woke up this morning a little early, about 6 or between 6 and 7. And I started thinking of certain scripture. As I thought of that scripture, I was thinking, this scripture makes me feel sort of good. I thought of the scripture meaning, this is absolute reality. I can count on this for the day. And when you do, when you start your day counting on certain things as being real, and they're from God, and they're about God, then you can live that day no matter what happens.
You know, and to learn a little bit more about the reality, you can call 800-460-4673, and I'll be glad to talk to you, or you can visit our website, which is www.mcgeepublishing.com, and it's M-C-G-E-E.
Stacy and I talked to, you know, the truth of the matter is we talk to people every week on this show who are believers, who
yep.
are in a world of hurt, and they don't understand why, and they say, you know, I trusted in the Lord, and, you know, and he let me down. That is their perception of it, and, you know, we get into these things with them on a regular basis, and the spiritual deception is pretty substantial. And, you know, that's, of course, one of the reasons that we, that we wanted to get this, the search for reality out there. Go ahead, Robert.
Well, the good news is this. No matter how fouled up you are, you have to understand that the reason you're that way is because you're believing that which is false. The second thing you need to understand is that the spiritual is always higher than everything else. In other words, if you will begin to operate spiritually correct, everything else will turn around and straighten up. The problem is that most people really do not believe that truth will actually do much good. I mean, I'm talking
I remember when I met you, actually the afternoon that I met you, I was sitting down there with some friends of ours in Jacksonville, and we were having lunch, and you were standing up there, and you asked me a question. You said, which is more real, this table, and you knocked on it, or God's word? And, you know, nobody had ever asked me anything like that before. It was, it was just like out of the blue, and I thought about it for a second, and I thought, well, if heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away, then God's word is more real than the table, which was holding up my lunch. So that was what I answered, and I remember you stepping back for a second, just surprised that I got it right.
Your reputation had prestige.
Yeah, there you go.
Most people think of Satan in terms of, well, maybe he's real, but quite frankly, I don't think I ever meet up with him, all right? He may be over in India or some other part of the world that appears to be more God-forsaken than him. But quite frankly, people who talk about Satan as being real, they're a bit weird, and yet the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so we have all these warnings in Scripture about Satan and his attack upon us that we just simply flat ignore. And a lot of times we ignore it because we know somebody who has gone off the deep end, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't understand that when you and I were born, we might not have had a special demon assigned to us. We had one of them that studied us and has studied us for all these years. And because they understand, they may not know who's going to accept Christ, whether they're going to make any difference in this world or not. But Satan is no dummy. He keeps a lookout for those he needs to deceive. And they have been deceiving people for thousands of years. And yet most people think that they can just sort of ignore him or outsmart him or one of the above, when in fact they can't, right? In fact, at the beginning of the workbook, we'll soon have a workbook online. I asked the question, how smart are you? Based on the idea that most people think they're smart enough to outwit Satan. If they didn't, they would not ignore him as much as they do. You know what I mean?
You know, I find it very interesting that there are all these movies that are out where humans outsmart spiritual forces, you know, or forces with, you know, that are extraterrestrial or you know, forces that, you know, that have superhuman powers, but always have that kind of stamp of an evil spirit upon them. And I think that it's kind of part of the American way to believe that we are in control of our own destiny completely, and that we are the masters of our own fate, when in reality we really aren't. And, you know, you go about your daily life most of the time, and it seems like you are, and then something happens, and, you know, and it's crystal clear that you aren't. But I think that a lot of people kind of get into that, you know, and then there's the other part of it, Robert, that people do not want to, they don't want to think about Satan because they think that gives him power.
Well, they're really two extremes. Well, three extremes, I guess. One, those who think, I will ignore him, and he would ignore me, and if I pretend he's not around, then he'll pretend I'm not around. That's the deal. Then there are those who think, somebody has given me this pattern of speaking, which will allow me to have control over him. And so that's all they do all the time. And they really have more of a interaction with the demonic than they do with God, because they think it's like God gave me this gun to shoot and I get to shoot it whenever I want to. And if I'm having problems in my life, it's because I haven't done the spiritual warfare correctly. Well, the fact of the matter is neither one of those are correct. And it takes the Holy Spirit to teach us how to deal with him. And I remember not long ago, I woke up, and it was after we'd gotten involved with writing this book, and I had seen certain things sort of fall apart in various areas. And God said, hey, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, my mind had drifted toward those people who were falling apart, right?
Yeah.
And yet, the crazy thing is if Christians get together and say, we need to pray for the leaders of our country because they're wacko, right? And mm-hmm. so they sit around and they talk and they play towards those leaders. Well, in fact, those leaders are chump change to Satan. We have been given authority to direct the demons away from those people and to bind them, right? And so you have some people who say, well, all I'm interested in is getting out the vote. Then you have the other people who say, well, all I'm interested in is praying. Well, okay, but what does that mean? That doesn't mean you sit around and pray, as it were, towards the leaders. What you do is you do spiritual warfare. And then it's, well, I don't know if I want to do that one or not. Well, then get out the vote, right? Because sitting around and focusing on people. I mean, many of us have people in our lives, and we think, man, if these people would straighten up, my life would be so much better. No, it wouldn't, all right? If it is, then what you need to do is you need to pray that the evil spirits quit confusing these people or deceiving these people, because it's not the people that are causing the problems. It's the demonic that are influencing them, and that's who you have to go after. Now, this isn't part of chapter one, but that is sort of, I guess, a little bit of a bonus for this time. There are just so many things in Scripture that when you really get down to it, you have to say, well, yeah, I guess that's true. And then you turn around and you realize, I haven't heard any teaching on this. I guarantee you, anybody who goes to this book will encounter many, many things that they sort of know, but they really don't know. And when they get through reading it, they go, oh, man, I wish I'd known that a long time ago.
Yeah, that is one thing that I know for sure, is that people that take a look at this book, which, Stacey, they can get it by how?
They can get it by calling 800-460-4673, or they can go to our website, which is www.mcgeepublishing.com, and McGee is M-C-G-E-E.
And Stacey, I'm so glad you stayed awake. You're our whole deal here.
You know, we don't usually have commercials, but you know, this is so important for us to get this material out for people to take a look at it, and actually for the next couple of weeks, if they go there, we're having a free download of the e-version of the book, but it's just for a short amount of time. And we're doing that kind of like Mrs. Fields used to stand outside and give people half a cookie, because as soon as they got it, they wanted a whole bunch more. So that's why we're doing that. But anyway, go ahead, Rob.
Hey, Jack, can I interject one thing real quick?
Sure.
This is something that we're going to work on the rest of our lives. We're never going to arrive, and we have to keep going back to the truth as presented to overcome.
Yeah, let me say one thing about this. Deception is not that you are mistaken. Many people think, well, I'm not deceived. I may be mistaken. But if you're mistaken and you hear the truth, you climb on to the truth. If you're deceived, you'll reject the truth. And as a counselor for almost 40 years, I will tell you, there are many, many people I've talked to who it was just as obvious as their nose on their face that they were deceived, and yet they rejected the idea that they could be deceived. And because of that, if I were a counselor and didn't have this book, I would get it and I would look at it, because I will tell you, trying to help somebody who's deceived is a long haul, because as long as they're deceived, they will eventually reject the truth that you're trying to get through to them. I mean, that's just the way it is. And it doesn't need to be that way. It's just a sad deal. When I sat in church Sunday, I looked around the auditorium and I thought, this is really sad, Lord. Here we have a bunch of people. They all think they know the truth, and yet they don't know the truth. In fact, much of their
lives are based on deception. This is the end of our first episode, but we're going to continue with this, folks, because this is absolutely critical. There is nothing that is more important than understanding reality, and reality is God's truth. Anything that is apart from that is not truth. And that is the message we've got, and it's all we have for today. So let me just say this. God bless you, and God bless. the United States of America. Thank you so much, Robert and Stacy. Good night.
I'll catch you later. Bye.